Hi, Emily.
Hello, Kate.
It's the middle of April. Tax day has happened.
Time is flying.
Time is flying. I still have Easter candy.
But you're not sharing.
I mean, I shared early on.
It's no, you were going to bring me some literally today and you didn't.
I was talking about the future.
Appreciate it. Well, in the future, you will bring me the Easter candy.
I will still give you a bag of Reese's eggs because they were 50% off.
I know. It was such a find.
It was such a find. It was great.
Excellent job.
Try to make them last as long as possible. The ongoing seasonal candy debate. It's not really a debate.
It's not a debate because there's a clear winner.
Yep. But, you know, April, it's lovely.
Yep. We are
some
six-ish weeks away from the festival.
What? Many things have been announced. You know, the thing I don't know that people have realized, and I am trying to find more ways to get out there, so this feels like a very great platform for it, is that we have new ticket packages this year. And it all came up from, so for those that don't know, in the past, we've basically had two badge levels in the most recent pass. We've had two badge levels and certain things have single tickets. Those two badge levels still exist. The camp badge for the super TV fan that wants to go to everything, including evening events and micro programming. And it's our version of all access and top tier badge. And then a general programming badge, also good for 4 days, all general programming. So really not events and micro programming. And then things that are at the state, the Paramount or ACL Live would have single tickets. That all of that is still true. And
tell us
if I can get this right. We have added the TV pass this year, which is essentially a ticket package. Is it five things?
Yes. I call it a choose your own adventure.
A choose your own adventure. You can go to five things, four pieces of general programming and one marquee event. And it is our way to have a little bit more affordable access. If I'm going to get these wrong, so I'm going to look it up. Our top tier badge is $535. The GP badge is $335. And the TV pass is $150. So it was the idea that, you know, we want to be as price conscious as we possibly can while also being an event that has a lot of things to pay for.
Yeah. And it's also people that have never been before. It was as opposed to doing a day pass.
Yeah.
It was say you can only come on Friday. Well, great. You can use all five of your
things in one day,
or you can only come for, you know, Thursday night and Friday morning.
Yes.
I'm not going to give all the different examples of what it is.
You could spread out your five things.
Or you could only come in the morning every day. Exactly. I don't know. So many options.
There's so many options, but like it's a little bit of a way to try us out, hopefully, as well as be a little bit more conscious that if you can't come 10 to 5 or 10 to 10 every day and it's not as worth it to you to do a badge, this is a way to dip your toe in. Our hope is that you love it and you just mark the next 2025's dates on your calendar and you come for all 4 days. We also, for the first time, are doing a locals only discount on badges, our GP badge and the TV pass.
Yes.
Locals only being the Austin area. It is by zip code. It is the greater Austin area, if you're curious about what zip codes are apply. You can visit our website or email us at tv@atxfestival.com. But I'm excited about it because I think we have been trying the last few years, one, to get more Austin residents to come, so local pass, but then also trying to both value ourselves in our programming and the huge lift that it takes to hire people and put the event on, but also have an entry level, try us out, check it out kind of option. So I'm hoping this does it.
I know.
Want people to try it out. I think there's easily four or five things that you want to go to.
Agreed. I think it's fun. And that way you can get a whole vibe of the festival, feel out how it works without fully jumping in if that makes you nervous or you're just unsure.
Yeah. Right now, my favorite thing. Do you want to know my favorite thing we have at this year's festival? I can pick favorites now because it hasn't happened. You can't pick favorites once it's happened.
What is your favorite thing?
Halt and Catch Fire reunion.
I was going to guess that.
Okay.
But the way you were saying it made me seem,
I mean,
think it was
secret,
like something that we didn't know was going to happen. Or
I'm really, really excited about this reunion, and they're excited about it, which always makes me more excited about it when you see everyone flittering about of, you know, we get to see each other again. So I think they're going to be great.
Oh,
I rewatched the whole series on AMC Plus.
I had to pause my rewatch because I had to watch all the other things we're having at the festival, but I'm about to pick it back up because I have to finish it before
also,
the festival.
Fun fact, Jennifer Morgan, our director of programming, introduced me to this show back in the day. I was late to the party, and it's now one of my favorite things.
She was at the party while the party was happening.
She was at the
party.
She
started the party.
She was the host of the party. To show up early at the party.
Yes. She was at the party ready to go. And now she's throwing a new party for it.
So anyway.
Love.
Season 13.
It's May 30th
coming. Through June 2nd. Come on down. But today we are talking about something that happened last year.
Rewind. All the way back to the 90s for some of
this. I know. It's like a pretty big rewind. So today's panel is the TV Podcast Showcase presented by iHeart Podcasts. And don't worry, it's still about TV, even though it's a podcast panel. This was like a huge nostalgic panel.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Even the couple of companion shows that are about shows that are currently on still are nostalgic because these shows have been on for 10, 15 years.
Yeah, exactly. Well, as a heads up, because I'm reading this list, but I'm also excited as I remember them all in the green room and talk about a party. They were having a very nice time. They clearly do things together, this group. But we had Christine Taylor and David Lasher for their Hey Dude, the 90s Call podcast, which, by the way, is a delightful podcast. I listened to it after the festival, but I love the two of them. We did a Hey Dude reunion, which they credit us for getting them back together and chatting and this podcast, which I'll take all the credit anybody wants to give us. Delightful human beings. Very good to have them back after 4 or 5 years, easily. Maybe more.
Oh, not quite 10. God. I don't know. Maybe 10. I don't know.
It was
Time.
A lot. And then we had one of the Bachelors, Ben Higgins. He has an Almost Famous podcast with Ashley. Oh, no. All the Bachelorette fans can get mad at me. Ashley Iaconetti?
You know, I think that is an excellent try.
Iaconetti. They have a podcast. Then, I mean, talk about our 90s heart. Jenny Garth.
Kelly,
90210.
Didn't get to meet her, and I'm so sad about it because 90210 was obviously very important to anyone that was
She's
a teenager when I was a teenager.
On
and
it.
She is extremely important. And I saw her from afar.
Yep.
And just didn't get to talk
Stunning
to her. And
from
I'm still
afar.
Sad about it.
Mm-hmm. All the things happened to poor Kelly on that.
Oh my
show.
Gosh. Everything happened to her.
Yep. Her podcast is 90210 OMG. It's cute.
It's like you're just hearing it for the first time. But it is cute.
You
is
read
cute.
It a lot more than you say it out loud.
Yep.
So. There is an exclamation point, too. Teddy Mellencamp from The Real Housewives of Beverly Hills, who hosts 2 T's in a pod. I was also very excited about this because I am a Housewives watcher.
Yeah, you
specifically
are.
I watch 3 Housewives, New York, Beverly Hills, and The OC. I've actually broken up with The OC, so I really only watch 2 now. New York and Beverly Hills. Teddy
what
was on Beverly Hills.
Makes you break up with the Housewives?
They change cast too often.
Oh, so you just like don't care about the
new
people.
So like, for example, I am watching New York, but it's a brand new cast and like Verdict's still out.
Okay.
Because they've only had 1 season with this cast and I don't know that I
gotcha.
Care them. I also am somebody who looks for the opportunity to break up. Like I need less of it in my life.
Well, and I find it interesting. She talks a little bit about it on this podcast as the only time I ever watched The Housewives mm-hmm.
was with me when I lived
the couple
with
months
you for...
that you had to live with me during
I
life transition.
I was homeless. Yeah.
Yep. And I would just come in and ask you all the questions as you were watching it.
Are they really friends? Do they really go on vacation?
Do they really hang out like this? Was that when it first started, it was much more people just being like, yeah, I want to be in TV. I want to like, this sounds fun. obviously they wanted to become famous through it, but it wasn't, there wasn't like an ulterior motive. Whereas now the casting is very much people wanting to like promote their businesses or what they're already doing on the side. And so they're wanting to get in front of a bigger audience. And the fact that many of them are not actually housewives.
Well, New York in the beginning, a lot of them were never housewives.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Well, like, see, I don't know. Bethany Frankel, who became famous on The Housewives of New York and now has skinny girl margaritas and is like a bajillionaire. She was a single catering person.
Interesting.
On the very and I believe New York, I was thinking about this the other day. I don't 100% know this. OC may have been the first one. Either OC or New York was the very first Housewives, but they were pretty close together. And so
I feel like it was the OC based on nothing.
Okay, great.
But Jen's not.
New York was soon after. And Bethany was on the original cast and she was not a housewife, nor was like two of the other people.
Ooh, so like scandalous.
The housewife of it all is like not
interesting.
A requirement, even though it's in the title.
Yeah.
Teddy was also not an original cast member. She came later. And I don't know, does she talk about, because I haven't listened to the panel in an exciting way. Does she talk about who her dad is? It's obvious, but.
I don't think so. I'm trying to remember now. It's been a minute. I can't remember.
Okay, just curious. Because I think they also do things like that. Like, are they married to someone famous? Are they, like, I don't know how Teddy got on the show, and she is great on it. She actually is one of my favorites, and she's a divisive character, I think, for some people. but when I found out she was John Mellencamp's daughter, I was also very excited. He does not show up on the show.
Which Housewives is Phaedra on? Do you know?
Atlanta?
She was on The Traitors, and so I know who she is.
I think she was on Atlanta.
Obviously, I know nothing about her when it comes to The Housewives, but
yeah,
that's all you I know. Got for you.
Anyway, I definitely, it's an interesting space. Don't get me started on Beverly Hills this year. And Kyle and Mauricio is like a whole separate thing.
Okay, I won't get you started on it.
This podcast, and so it's not worthy of this conversation at the moment, but I was invested. And then our last panelist was Kevin McHale from Glee, hosts a podcast called And That's What You Really Missed. I say that like that because really is in all caps.
You did such a great job.
And it is moderated by Tanya Rad, who was on air with Ryan Seacrest, who is also very cool. Anyway, this very fun, nostalgic throwback podcast that like, or panel and podcast. Oh, it's so meta.
Agreed. My favorite thing though is the people that are doing like the rewatches going back to old episodes, the fact that so many of them are watching it for the first time ever.
Yeah.
Because they just honestly didn't have time back in the day
sure.
to watch it. And so now they're watching it.
And it's available. Well, yeah. And missing things.
Like, totally. All the above. But now they're watching it all for the first time. And that kind of perspective of some of these people, 20 plus years later. Mm-hmm. And they're like, not only did I not watch this when it was on, it's now aged 20 plus years. What are my feelings on it? But the thing that I also really like is they're all incredibly grateful for their experiences on these shows. Even, and Kevin talks about how, which everyone knows, how hard Glee was at certain times, but that they can watch it with such an appreciation for the experience they had, the people that they met,
sure.
the product that they put out that people loved. And I really appreciate that perspective.
I think it was such a ATX panel, in my opinion. It was positive. It was fun. It was nostalgic. It's also still current because they're making these podcasts and a lot of these people have gone on to continue to do more things. And so I was just really thrilled that this all came together and that iHeart did it with us because there's a lot of places you could do this. There's a whole festival, like 90s con. You could have done it there. But we are very 90s people.
I know
too.
We could be 90s con part two.
I think we probably could. So with that, please enjoy the TV Podcast Showcase presented by iHeart Podcasts.
Hi, everybody. Thanks for being here. Are you pumped? All right, so I'm going to bring everybody out, and then I'm going to introduce them when they are up here. Participation is encouraged. If there is something that you really like, I love a woohoo. If there's something you don't like, I don't love a boohoo, but you get what I'm saying here. All right. So without further ado, let's bring out our panel. For you guys to not be over here. Yeah, I was gonna say, do you feel like a little like...
I'm the moderator.
Okay, perfect. If you want to sit over there, you can. Yeah, okay. All right.
My mic's not even on.
Like I said, participation is very encouraged. So again, what's the noise you guys are gonna make when you hear something you like? All right, okay. So let's introduce our panel. First up, we have Teddy Mellencamp. From Two Teas in a Pod. Do we have any Housewives fans out here? All right, I'm into it. I'm gonna do Ashley and Ben together. So we have Ashley, I, and Kennedy Haben here from Bachelor Nation. We're gonna do Ben Higgins over here. They are from the Almost Famous podcast. Do we have any Almost Famous fans out here?
Thank you. All five of you. I know, it's really
overwhelming. All right, next up we have Christine Taylor. And she's sitting next to David Lasher. And their podcast is Hey Dude, the 90s Call. Do we have any listeners in the house? Next up, Kevin McHale. His podcast is in And That's What You Really Miss. Do we have any Glee fans out there? Okay. All right. And last but not least, Jenny Garth, everybody. From the 90210 OMG podcast, do we have any Beverly Hills 90210 fans? Okay, so I feel like we have a pretty good mix of, like, fans out here.
Yeah.
You guys feeling pumped? So we're here, everybody here that's on this panel, they have a rewatch podcast or a companion podcast, which is basically like quarterbacking of kind of a rewatch of the shows. We'll start with Ben, Ashley, and Teddy because those are yours. You have companion podcasts. Is it harder to be on the show that you are doing, or is it harder to recap it on the podcast and like talk about it?
It's way harder to be on the show.
Yeah. Like, way harder. So to much be harder on the to show. Be on the show. I the part I love about podcasting about it is that you still feel like you're in the mix because you're seeing the ins and outs. You know what's happening production-wise and whatnot. But anything you say when you're saying it on a podcast, you're like, it doesn't really exist. Like, it's not going anywhere. And then you're like, actually, everyone's listening to it and all the press is picking it up. So it's a kind of a mind game that you don't really feel like you're in it until, you know, 5 days later and you're like, shoot, I did say that.
1,000%. What I like about the podcast is that I think it gives, we can give more context to the scenes that are going on. We can make the audience realize that this 2 hours, not even 2 hours that they're seeing every week on the show, is coming from over 48 hours of footage that is just cropped down. And then we can see certain circumstances that maybe we lived through. And it was like, okay, so what you're seeing is this, but I'm feeling like a part of this storyline is missing because we have this question and this question. So I think you just kind of open the audience's eyes to the fact that there probably is more context to a fight or a love story than you're seeing.
Right. Or like that the rose ceremonies happen at like 2 o'clock in the morning.
Later. Late. 2 o'clock would be the nice early rose ceremony.
No.
Yeah, the first night rose ceremony, would you say starts at 4:30 and then goes till like 6:30?
A.M.?
Yeah. The first night rose ceremony starts at 4 something a.m. And then goes until sunrise.
They wet down the cement?
Yeah, they do. Ben? Why do they wet down the cement? And why is our podcast fun to do?
They wet down the cement because it makes it shiny for TV. It looks like really like clean. Yes, the rose ceremonies are really long. I think I got home at 11 o'clock in the morning, and it started at 7 p.m. the night before. It's a lot easier to be on a podcast. I think for me, because I get to be like the judger and like make assumptions, and I don't have to have like really any like recourse for like decisions I make other than maybe a headline that I said this about a random scene on a podcast. But the ability to kind of like sit back and analyze is a lot easier than actually having to be in it and navigating the difficulty that is being on reality television, which it's not always fun and games.
No, it's not. Sounds rough if you ask me. But you guys, have you interviewed? I know you're going to interview one of your exes soon coming up on the podcast. Have you interviewed any of your exes on the podcast?
Well, I mean, it's hard to call people exes when like you just, well, you know, you may have gone on a few dates in real life after the show,
right.
But like, is Wells Adams an ex of
mine? Yeah, for sure.
Is Crystal's an ex? Because,
no.
You know, we've talked to them a number of times and, you know, we're just
friends.
Did
you make out with them?
Yeah.
Then yes.
Okay, cool. So yes, we've interviewed my exes.
Okay, I want to get to Christine and David. Do you guys have microphones over there?
Yeah.
Okay, cool. Just want to make sure everybody has one.
Hello.
So you guys are not necessarily, you're not a rewatch podcast, but you kind of like took that and kind of flipped it where you're just going back to the 90s and you've interviewed former castmates, but you're also doing other shows. What do you think it is about the 90s that has people so like craving that nostalgia right now?
Well, I mean, we talk about how the 90s were that last decade before social media, YouTube, a million streamers. So people were like enjoying music, entertainment, films, TV together, like
yeah,
as a society.
So true.
And now it's just really fragmented, which is fine. Everyone has their niche audience. But I feel like people in our age range are very nostalgic for the 90s. And then I found that my teenage kids are really fascinated with the 90s. So I thought, like, if you could capture those demographics and people in between to look back on this decade that was the last time, you know, before we all kind of went our own ways on what we consume. And it's been just so much fun. I mean, there's so many. Anyone who made a mark in the 90s, we want to talk to.
And you know, David and I, because our show ended in 1991, you know, we did it for a couple of years. We started in 1989 and ended in 91. We were both teenagers. We dated when we were doing the show together.
Wait,
as
what?
Teenagers.
What?
Yes. We were babies.
How long did you date for?
I mean, there were a
She's
lot
like
of ups
10
and downs.
Years.
Yeah, it didn't end well, but now it's a happy end.
But we spent a little time together when we moved to LA, but because our show ended in 1992, none of us had cell phones, none of us had email addresses. We all had home phone numbers or not. Yeah, there were. So a lot of us lost touch. So when we actually reconnected at this festival for our 25th,
yeah, they
reunion?
Did a Hey Dude reunion here.
No!
Here, yeah.
Wow.
Almost, yeah, like eight or like nine, not almost 9 years ago. And so we reconnected. Then we all got each other's numbers. We stayed in touch. lost connection again a little bit. And then last spring, I get a text from David. I got an email from David. My phone was ringing from David. And I was like, somebody in the cast must have died because he's dying to get in touch with me. And I called him back. I was like, is everything okay? He's like, yeah, I just had this cool idea for a podcast that I wondered if you might be interested.
No, Amy Sugarman told me if you can get Christine to do it with you, we'll do the show. So
anyway,
it always comes back to Amy Sugarman, doesn't it?
Exactly.
That's so okay. So, wow, I did not know that you guys dated. I'm so really rocked
Listen
by that.
Listen to the podcast.
Yeah, we talk about it a lot on the podcast.
How do your significant others feel about you guys
doing a podcast together?
We dated when we were 17 years old, guys. I mean, high
school.
So
you're in, like, stable, healthy, secure relationships.
Yes,
okay, all right,
I think
good.
Our spouses are the biggest fans of our show.
Well, yeah, actually, you have had your husband on the podcast.
Yes.
Was that fun to interview him or weird?
Oh no, it was so much fun. I mean, he's a huge podcast listener. I hadn't listened to a lot of podcasts going into this. So he loves it. And he was one of the first to say, like, hey, I did a lot of work in the 90s. I'm available. So
the Ben Stiller show.
That is really cute.
But I was surprised. Like, I know a lot of stories, but there were things that came up. And that's, you know, what, you know, something about what you guys were all saying is, like, in this world, when there's not a camera on and there's, you can mine really fun, you go on tangents and you find out things about people. And there were stories about Ben that I didn't, like, he had auditioned with Al Pacino for a movie or something when he was much younger that he didn't get, but I had never heard that story before we interviewed him. So it's, we're having a blast.
That's awesome. And Jenny, you also are kind of in that same era. Has it been fun for you to go back and rewatch everything, or has it been hard, or what's the vibe?
Well, first let me say, we dated.
What?
Also.
On
the
show.
Do you remember?
On the show.
Oh, I remember. On the beach.
Yeah. Beach volleyball. Yeah.
That reaction to you saying that was honestly so priceless.
Because David also forgets a lot of things too. So.
Yeah. He's like, did we date?
His face turned bright red. I was like, I just wanted to make sure you didn't forget that.
How could I?
No, our show, we were on for all of the 90s, every single one of those years. And so the 90s represents so very much to me, just personally and professionally. I mean, it was the launch of a great career for me. But going back and watching it now, because we were working, you know, 14, 16-hour days, doing two episodes at once sometimes. And there was literally no time for a life, let alone watching the show. So I never, ever, ever watched an episode of the show. So now going back from the very, very beginning and watching every single episode has been really a gift, honestly. I always say that about being able to do 902 and OMG. It's been a gift because I wouldn't have done this. And I wouldn't have done this with my best friend who did it with me. You know, we share this incredible bond of something that we went through on that show for 10 years. And so to be able to sit down every week and watch the episode and just be there, go back to that time. It's refreshing, and it feels really good. That's the whole point of nostalgia. It just makes you feel familiar, and that's what I love about doing it.
Do you feel like, are you grateful that at the time when you were doing 90210 that you didn't have the opportunity to do a podcast?
I'm grateful that when we were doing 90210, we didn't have the opportunity to do anything else.
I feel like when you're in it, maybe you would say things that you might later regret.
So lucky there was no social media then. Ooh, the things that could have happened. Because so much already did happen, but with just paparazzi, you know, following you, things got crazy. But yeah, we got lucky in the 90s.
Yeah, it was definitely a whole life of its own, that show. And also another show that had a life of its own was Glee. Like, that show really was groundbreaking in many ways. Don't you feel like it was just on a whole different level of it? I feel like it just took you guys to a totally different level of fame than I'd ever seen before at that time.
Yeah, we were all very confused by it.
Really?
Because we shot the first 13 episodes before anybody had seen anything beyond the pilot. And so when we got to the end of that, not knowing if we'd continue, we sort of had this group panic of, oh my God, people actually have to watch this and have to like it for us to like come back and get to do this again. Because we were having so much fun with the crew, with the cast. And I mean, for the run of the whole series, we had basically the exact same crew. So we were all one very, very close-knit family. And then when it came out and did well, we were baffled because something like that had never really worked to that level. And it was an hour-long comedy, which also within itself makes no sense.
Yeah.
And doesn't really exist. But we were just happy that we got to keep coming back and got to do it. And we were trying not to ask any questions. I was like, I don't know why they're liking this, but let's just keep going.
Right. Just like head down working.
Yeah. I mean, when the show actually premiered, most of us were in Australia doing this like press event, which was also like, we've tricked these people into paying for flights for us to go to Australia. Like, we don't know how. And by the time we came back, I think 3 episodes have aired and our lives had changed. We got off the plane and there were paparazzi and like hundreds of fans. We're like, what is going on?
Yeah.
And so there are moments for each of us where we sort of had that realization. When my brother was going to college in England that whole first season of Glee. And at the end of it, I went and visited London. I was like, hey, when you see us, I have like a security guard and we have a van. And he's like, what? He's like, no one's gonna come up to your ugly ass. So like, I was like, yeah, I know, it's stupid. And then we leave the hotel for 5 minutes and I got mobbed. He's like, okay, yeah, maybe the van's a good idea. Maybe we should. He's like, what's happened? I'm like, I don't know.
Yeah.
I have no idea, but I was thankful. I had a job and people liked it. So yeah.
And you guys had 6 seasons?
We had 6 seasons, yeah.
And when that show ended, was it like, was there a come down? Like, how crazy was that?
Well, the come down was a couple years after. I think, you know, we had a lot of ups and downs towards the end of that show. And by the end of it, we were all very ready to be done.
Yeah.
And I mean, I even missed the wrap party because I went to England to go shoot this other show. We were all immediately just dispersed, like, let me do anything else, because we couldn't do anything else during the entirety of the show. And we were working 16-hour days and then going on tour. And so we were fried and just really looking to do anything else. And a couple years after that, then I think once we, you know, settled, I'm like, oh, that was fun. Like, oh, I do miss that. I do miss seeing my friends and getting to shoot on a beautiful lot every day. And yeah, it was good.
And for you to go back, you know, because there has been a lot of tragedy around that show. Has it been hard for you to go back and watch, or has it been kind of therapeutic in a way?
So Jenna, who co-hosts the podcast with me, we had a podcast before and we sort of went in.
I think I was on your
podcast. Were.
Yeah. Like, I'm pretty sure I was a guest with you guys.
You absolutely were.
And I loved it.
And it sort of morphed into an informal Glee rewatch podcast. And then
because what was it before? It wasn't a Glee rock.
No, it was sort of, you know, Jen and I worked together and became best friends and interviewing people who became, you know, best friends through work and things like that. But people were more interested in Glee. So we're like, all right, give them what they want, all of our 30 listeners. And but after Naya Rivera passed, we're like, yeah, I don't want to watch this show anymore.
Yeah.
It's too hard. Like, what's the point of doing this? Because when we get group texts, we're like, well, somebody has probably died. Yeah. So we can laugh about it now because it's insane.
Yeah.
But when iHeart sort of approached us last year to do this, they had a whole different perspective and we had a different perspective of how we could do it. And it's been so nice because it feels... I feel really proud of everyone. And we get all of these songs, all these episodes of like our friends being super talented. And that just feels great to have as, you know, because some of them aren't here. But we still have that for forever.
And you guys are also keeping their memory alive. Like you guys are doing things with the podcast for Naya. And like, I think that's such a beautiful thing that you're doing too.
Yeah, I think it's a good opportunity to talk about how great these people were in real life because so many people love them as their characters. And they were exceptional people, you know, off screen too. And so it is nice to be able to talk about that and also talk to crew members who aren't necessarily ever given the opportunity to speak publicly about their experience. And I think because of how the show ended, a lot of the crew and cast haven't been able to really work through all of that and talk through all of that. And not that I am remotely trained to be a therapist. You should not come to me for anything. But we've gotten so many, you know, messages from crew members who have come on to be like, thank you for having us on and be able to talk about this because I did have sort of a negative perspective. And that's how we got into it in the first place, because Ryan Murphy also had this sort of negative thing with it. And I talked to him, I was like, you need to cut it out. Because yes, there were negative things that happened, but we got to do so many incredible things, experience so many positive things that really did outweigh the number of bad things that happened.
Yeah.
And so this has been an opportunity to sort of reframe, I think, how selfishly we all look at the experience for ourselves and hopefully for people listening.
Oh. Big fan, you know, big fan. We're going to talk a little Housewives. Okay, so you were on the Beverly Hills Housewives.
Correct.
And you're two teas in a pod. You guys are a companion podcast. So you're not re-watching and recapping, but you're giving commentary on each season.
What's happening?
Can you talk a little into your mic? Thank you so much.
Oh, sorry. Hello. We watch all of the current franchises and spinoffs and recap what's going on.
How do you do it? Because I feel like there's so many all the time.
So the way I do it is I got a walking pad, because I started feeling like my husband would come in and I'd be like on my iPad, like hunched over, taking notes. And he's like, are you all right? I'm like, I'm working. So I got this walking pad now. So now I walk and I watch my shows and I feel like I'm a little bit more okay with myself binge watching people fighting. But
I honestly feel like there's definitely always a season on.
There's
at least two or
multiple
three.
Seasons on, and then now there's girls trips, and then they're popping up with new places, and then we always have guests. But I mean, the part that's so fun about it is that I get to do it with Tamra Judge, who both of us, you know, we're very different but also very similar. We're both very opinionated. We're not scared to share our opinions. We can almost offend each other, but then in the same moment know we love each other. And at the end of the day, we want what's best for our pod and to bring out the most information that we can. But we feel differently. I mean, even though we act like we're in the mix of every franchise, we're not. So we have different favorites. And I think that's the beauty of watching reality television, which I think gets a little lost on Twitter, where you have, like, there's so much vitriol.
I feel like a lot gets lost on Twitter.
And all of those things that make it really negative. But if you watch the show truly for entertainment, which is what we're doing, we always say you're only as good as last week's episode. Because last week's episode, you may have been hilarious and did something funny, and that was great. And then this week, oh no, she's talking behind her back, and she's doing this, and she's doing. So it's really fun just to break down what's going on, and also kind of point out the points where you're like, oh, they broke the fourth wall here. I never knew what the fourth wall was before I was on television. I'm like, what's the first time they're like, you can't break fourth wall, and I was like, what wall is that? But it's the wall between the television and reality.
Right, right, right.
So that was something I learned later on in my time.
That was like Fleabag. Did anybody watch Fleabag? Yeah, that show was really cool because they did that. I feel like that was one of the first, like, not reality shows that did that.
Yeah.
In a really cool way.
But they used to not really break the fourth wall at all, but these last couple of seasons, they're breaking it, which I actually really appreciate it and love more, because when you see the producer step in, you're like, oh, stuff's really hitting the fan. They had to keep it in to kind of narrate what's going on, and that's when you know it's about to get really good.
Is it harder, or do you prefer interviewing the Beverly Hills Housewives, since you were a part of that franchise?
Interviewing the Beverly Hills Housewives, like, one of our first, like, top podcasts, like, I had on Kyle and Erica and Renna, and we just, essentially, we got tipsy and, like, caused problems and, like, talked about all the things we shouldn't have, and that was a really fun podcast. But I would say the most interesting part is, as we get in new people from new franchises, it's like, some women come in and they're completely who they are. And, you know, you immediately love them. You feel connected to them. You feel like you could ask them anything. And then some people come in and they are so media trained that you're like, well, this is going to be a bust. You know, within seconds, like, they're not going to tell you the juicy answers that you want to hear. And it really just depends on the person. But I would say the cool thing is, you know, within 10 seconds. Like, I know within 10 seconds, is this going to be good? Or am I going to be sitting here like, pulling my eyelashes out one by one because I'm so uncomfortable.
I see Christine and David laughing over here, so I feel like they've definitely experienced this on their podcast.
Is it not
true? It's okay.
You know right away by the energy when they, like, come on and they're like,
yes.
You're like,
Hi.
You're like, actually, today's episode is going to be really short. It's going to be a 15-minute episode. So just letting you know ahead of time.
And then you had to be like, I'm sorry, no one's interested on how your kids are doing or what products you have to sell. Like, I'm going to have to ask you the hard questions. So welcome. Why'd you say this about so-and-so behind their back?
And so, you called them freshies.
Freshies are really good. So we haven't released this podcast yet, but we recently had on so Joe, good. Who was on season one of Real Housewives of Orange County. And I consider her a freshie because she hasn't done any media in over 10 years. And she came on and it was this as if we were in therapy. She just told us everything about the guy. She was with Slade and who's now with Gretchen. She told us everything, gave us all these secrets. I was like, this is the kind of freshie I need in my life that like isn't filtered out of Hollywood. But then as we brought up points that she did on the show, she was like, oh my God. Like I was like, there was a time, like you were smoking cigarettes on TV. Like that's how long ago this filmed. And she was like, yeah, my parents weren't happy. You know, like,
what year was that? Do you know?
I mean, Orange County has been on 14 years, Tara? 15 years, I think. And she was season one and two, and that was before it was even an Orange County show. So that was the beginning of Housewives, and they hadn't figured out how to actually do it. So when you first watch the beginning of Housewives, it's not about all the women. It's about their interpersonal relationships, where now you very rarely see...
The families. Oh, interesting. Mm-hmm. So it's like grown over time.
It's grown over time because people now, they want to be on those shows for their businesses, for, you know, it's more to for exposure. Whereas before, they were just going in because people were like, do you want to be in TV? And they're like, yeah, sure.
Right.
You don't have to have a talent. You don't have to
And
have
how
this.
Many now are there? There's like, I mean, I can't even, OC, New York, New Jersey, Beverly
there's
Hills.
OC, New York, New Jersey, New York Legacy.
New York
all the
Legacy.
Ultimate girls trips. There's Dubai, there's Miami.
Salt Lake City.
Salt Lake City. And now there's Luann and Sonia take on Road Trip.
What?
Guys, I watch a lot of television.
Is there
and
anybody...
I drink a lot of champagne.
Is there anybody in the audience that watches every Housewives franchise? We have one. Wow, two. Okay, we've got two.
What's your favorite? Oh, okay. Yeah.
Orange County. Oh, the OG.
You need to go listen to my interview with Ramona Singer. She only would address Tamra because Tamra's more famous.
Shut up!
She wouldn't even make eye contact with me.
That's so dark.
Amazing. And then I said, what do you think my name... Halfway through, I go, do you know my name? And she was like, Terry Marin Cromps. And I was like, no. Nice meeting you.
Oh, that's so good.
Teddy, I have a question. Is it weird that like half of the cast aren't wives?
Yeah, well, I got a lot of trouble because of this one thing that I said. So Andy had this epic baby shower. I'm sure you guys all saw it. Like, and all the housewives were there and we were all partying. And I was sat next to John Mayer. And
God
he
bless.
Said to me, it went all over the internet. It was like the amount of explaining I had to do after this. But he sat down next to me and he goes, so are you married? And I said, shockingly, I'm one of the housewives that's currently married. He took it as like I was hitting on him and then went on his Instagram live and said, oh, that John Mellencamp's daughter that's on Beverly Hills, she was hitting on me at Andy's shower. For weeks I had to deal with this. I was like, I was making a joke because there was only three of us married. Like, I wasn't... No, okay, whatever, John Mayer.
That guy's like, always stirring the pot,
like,
isn't he? Yeah.
I guess my body's not a wonderland.
I didn't realize that they were not all housewives.
Majority are not anymore.
Oh, wow. So, but the brand is so strong, can't, like, rename it to just, like... Yeah. The women.
Single ladies that have too much money to spend.
Yeah. Speaking of single ladies, The Bachelor is like a whole nother franchise that has like a life of its own. But that seems to be a season, like that seems to be at an easier pace to kind of keep up with. Is that easier? And then what do you guys do when you're in between seasons? Or is there always something to watch between like Bachelor in Paradise?
Well, I think... it's super easy to keep up with. There's 11 episodes, you know, spread out. The hardest part is, especially last year, The Bachelor started to pack like 4 hours of television in 1 week, which for me is really hard to keep up with.
So you go from like what time to what time?
Well, it'd be like a two nights.
Yeah,
but
yeah, with Paradise, we had 4 hours, like 8 weeks in a row.
So it's a lot of television during the week, but it's part of our job, so we watch it. And it's pretty great because for us, we get a lot of the like guests on who are current contestants. They get to tell their story. A lot of them have been already like asked to go home, and so they're really excited to be on an interview, which I think gets like a really like authentic. There is no media training when you're on to The Bachelor, and so they just say everything. And then the off season, we get to bring back past guests. Almost Famous has added in an Almost Famous OG podcast with a past bachelor and a past bachelorette, and they get to interview people from 15 years ago during the off season, and we get to bring in maybe more current contestants. And it's fun to see kind of the difference between the two, you know, time frames.
And there's always headlines. Like the Bachelor franchise is always creating headlines, so we break those down.
But do you feel like the last couple seasons have been a little like dicey?
Dicey, like sorry, as in like there's not a ton of invested audience.
Yeah, no, I just feel like there was a point in.
Yes, I stopped watching.
Sorry, was that?
No, like, no, I feel. No.
Well, Ben, the ratings are out there for everyone to see. I'm very well media trained after 8 years.
I will be starting media training with Ashley right after
no,
this.
I mean,
but you guys, our ratings are like, no, it's amazing.
No, I mean, no, and I can say I'm the moderator. I'm not on The Bachelor or affiliated with The Bachelor. I feel like I used to watch it avidly. Like, I used to love The Bachelor. Thank you, Christine. Yeah. But lately, it's felt a little like they're going on with a different agenda. You know, the joke is like for the right reasons or whatever. But it does feel more than ever like it's that versus people wanting to find love.
You so, speak.
So as a fan myself, and maybe, well, let's just, anybody out here watch The Bachelor or have they watched The Bachelor or Bachelorette at some point in their life?
Wow, okay.
Wow, that's cool.
Bachelor Nation
so
runs hard.
When I first started watching it with my mother when I was in high school, I watched it because what I loved about the show, and this could just be a personal thing, everybody probably has an opinion why maybe today people aren't into it as much, competition, all those things. But for me, it was about the love story and it was about character development where you could watch somebody on television who had no training, who was not a celebrity, who was pulled out of, you know, oblivion to say, come on the show, and you could relate with them. And
I'm
you could maybe like cry with them, or they would tell you, hey, I'm super insecure. Like, I feel like nobody's ever gonna like me. And we could watch and be like, that's me too. And that was the focus. It was love, it was depth, it was story. About 5 years ago, that started to switch. And I think if you asked even Chris Harrison, who was the former host, the tagline started to be, this was gonna be the most dramatic season ever, which was funny until it was like the goal to make it competitive and the most dramatic season. And we had to watch it. And as viewers go, I'm judging them. Like, I don't like that person.
Yeah.
Which at first is exciting and fun. And you're like, I can't wait to come back next week to see how big of a, you know, mess they make. But over time, it wears on you. And I think we're sick of judging people. And I think we're sick of being mean to people. And after 5 seasons of it, you're like, I just want to go back to liking people on television.
Yeah, like the wholesomeness. Yeah. You're right.
Yeah, the wholesome of it was lost. And so people would tell me, hey, I still get people who are like in college. They're like, I watched your season. I'm like, that was 6.5, 7 years ago. You were 13. And the parents will be like, yeah, but it was fine for them to watch. But we won't let them watch. Like, we wouldn't let them watch it if it was today. So it just changed, and I'm hoping with the changes the show has made and kind of podcasts like ours, like speaking out and saying, let's go back to good love stories again, we get back to kind of the old feel of the show. And I actually think they might.
In this upcoming season?
Yeah, I do.
Like they want to reel it back.
I think they've realized this was a big mistake. I think there's a place for the drama, and then some shows are meant for love. And that's what The Bachelor was always.
You're so right. You're so wise, well, what Ben do you Higgins. Think? Isn't Ben Higgins the best?
We get why Ben Higgins was the Bachelor.
Yeah, now I get why they picked you.
He was the golden Bachelor.
Okay, actually, there's a couple of questions that I want everybody to answer. So we're going to go down the line really quick before we open it up to for you guys for questions. I don't want to mess these up. These are Amy Sugarman specific, so just bear with me here.
Amy Sugarman is basically the creator of all of these podcasts.
Yeah. She's all of our bosses.
Yeah.
But she's not here. But her eyes are
okay.
on us.
So we're going to, I think we're just going to go, we're going to go down the line so you guys can answer like in order. What do you love most about podcasting or your podcast specifically?
What I love most about my podcast specifically is the relationship that I have with my co-host and that it's built such a friendship that we were two strangers before we started. And now I'm so invested in the fact that her daughter graduated from high school yesterday and how emotional she was. I've developed a true friendship with her and we have so much fun. We get to go on all these adventures and our job is to watch television and share our opinions. I think about it. I'm like, I am really lucky that, I didn't want to do it for so long. I was like, I don't want to talk housewives. But that to me, that I get to watch television and recap it with somebody and laugh and disagree and have fun. And at the end of the day, we close up our books, put our jammies back on, and we're like, talk to you tomorrow.
Yeah.
It's great.
Ashley?
One of my favorite parts is that we are able to give like a long form platinum to these platform, to these characters that you see on the show that they get put into a stereotype, like a little slot that's like, this person's going to be the dramatic one. This one's
right,
going to be
the villain.
Yeah. And we're able to have them come on and hopefully talk for an hour or more and really show different sides of themselves. And I think a lot of people will watch the show and have like these really strong feelings about a person. And then they'll listen to our interview with them and be like, oh, wow, like they're completely different than what we saw. And it'll just change opinions on people. And everybody sees the good in people after listening to them have a conversation. It kind of makes it so that the audience is meeting the real person behind the screen.
Yeah, I think very similar. There have been a bunch of guests on our show that I didn't know that much about from the 90s. And just getting to learn their stories and just you see them on paper or you know them from a band or a show and that's all you really know. And so to sort of uncover more. But like my favorite part is getting to be with this guy who I've known since he was 16 years old. So like it's been almost like for us, I think this emotional, like getting to know your whole family and you getting to know my family. And so I love it. I love it because of you.
You know what's interesting about that genre in your show specifically is the 90s, because you guys were saying there wasn't social media at that time. And I was listening to the Melissa Joan Hart episode and I'm like, oh my, like I'd never really heard her speak outside of Sabrina the Teenager, like whatever she was on. You know what I mean? Like I'd never seen her as like a person. And it was tripped me out. Like I was like, oh my God, like it was just weird. But it's like, we're just not used to that, you know? So that's like really, really cool.
Yeah. I first of all, I thank you for saying that. I love working with Christine, even though we go from New York and LA through via Zoom, we get to see each other every week. And, that's been amazing. But also podcasting is a way to go deeper and get to know people that have, everyone we've interviewed, everyone has incredible stories. And a lot of the guests are friends of ours. But then iHeart will throw a guest at us and we'll kind of be like, let's see. And an hour goes by so fast and you learn so much about the person, whether it's like Mark McGrath opening for the Rolling Stones when he had the number one album and just people's journeys in the entertainment business in the 90s are fascinating. And I love reconnecting with old friends and really diving deeper than you would go on a late night talk show or, getting people to be honest and intimate. And that's, I love listening to podcasts and I love doing ours.
I love that.
It's just going to be redundant. I love Jenna Ushkowitz to death, and we talk every day, all day. Like, I don't know how we still have anything to talk about. but also the biggest excuse for us to get to reconnect with people that we saw every single day for 7 years and haven't really gotten to see since then. It's just been very, very nice. It's a big public therapy session, and it's been really, really special.
Nothing better than therapy, let me tell you.
Especially when you record it and then put it out for people.
To judge.
I'm like, yeah, that's the stupid shit I did. Yeah. Oh, can we cast?
Yeah.
Yeah, sure. Yeah, too late.
Ben?
You know, it's fun. I tell Ashley all the time. I've seen Ashley, and Ashley's been able to see my life, but I've seen her from single and wanting and, like, desiring to dating to then pursuing this man who she's in love with to then getting married and having a kid all within the 6 years of this podcast. And that's super fun because
same with you, Ben. He was the exact time he came off the show.
But this is my time to answer.
But Ben, I knew you was going to do this thing.
Also, like, Ashley, you really did it. Like,
yeah.
You, like, that was a pretty incredible, you know what I mean? Like, you,
yeah, she fought hard.
One day, I hope Jared turns around. Like, I hope it happens. And, like, when it did, it was, like, really remarkable. It was really special.
Well, thank you.
But I will say selfishly, my favorite part of having a podcast is, you know, when you do reality television, or at least when you do the Bachelor franchise, your time is very short, like shorter than most people realize. You're filming for maybe 5 months. And then once you're not the Bachelor anymore, and I said it on stage when my whole season went over, I said, this is it. Like, let me stand here for a second, because I know once I walk off the stage, this is done for me and life will never look like this again. And it's true. They move on. They do their thing. So back to the question. The podcast still feels like this really impactful season of my life. I still have a seat at the table. So, like, I can still meet the next contestants. I can still talk to the next Bachelor and Bachelorettes. For me, it was like, if I didn't have the podcast, my involvement with the show would be none.
Yeah.
And so the podcast gives me an excuse to stay involved and to maybe talk to new Bachelors who are struggling with, you know, social media, and it gives me that seat still. And I love that. Like, it's something I don't want to lose.
Nice. Jenny?
I love podcasting because I don't have to wear pants. The best job ever. I can't believe nobody said that. I'm kidding. I wear pants.
Sometimes.
Sometimes. Or ripped robes. I love working with Tori. I love, you know, I think I've already said, just it's been a gift. It's super cathartic for me because we were so in the thick of it. And as young, newly famous, thrown into that world, it was such a whirlwind. And I had no idea what was going on. And my life was just out of control at all times. So it feels like I'm able to go back and look at those moments and really appreciate them and, like, appreciate my youth. And it's just, like, it's the best thing ever to watch yourself from 35 years ago on TV. I wish everybody had the opportunity to do that.
And I'm sure it's probably so cool because there's probably a whole new, like, class of people that are watching the show now, like, with you guys that never watched it before. So
yeah,
it's like,
there's that element. But so it's also, like, we had fans before the internet. We had fans across the world. So now we're able to connect with those fans on such a much more intimate level than we ever had the opportunity to, because we were so removed from them, you know, and there was no way to stay connected. And this has just been like, it's like I have friends from the show. It just feels so warm, you know. It's such a warm environment.
Okay, so the next question for everybody is your dream guest for the podcast. Teddy, we're going to start with you.
Well, I just had on my dream guest, which was Andy Cohen. We had him for 2 hours straight in a hotel room, and he bared all, but he also required all. Like, I sent him a text, and I put Tamara on it, and I just said, listen, we want to talk to you about everything. We want to know why we were fired, why we're hired, why we're this, why we're that. All the questions. We want to talk about your book. And he responded back, okay, girls, I'll come on. And we were the only housewife podcast that he came on. He said, but you need to read my book. All right, we're talking about me and Tamara, and we're talking about less than 24 hours. I don't even know if it's me and Tamara or Tamara and I, and I've been doing this for
for 230 episodes. So I'm just here to tell you, having to complete a book in one day was a lot for me. But I was like, there's no way he's going to say one thing and me not know what the heck he's saying. So I was like listening to the audio on tape. My kids would come in, my three-year-old, I'd be like, go ask your sister. But no, it was such an incredible experience because he has been around from the very beginning. You can see his eyes light up when he talks about certain housewives. You can see him kind of clam up about others, but it was just one
like
of those guests. I would say, like, I think, you know, Jersey's like his baby. He loves Jersey. He said that Tamara's the only one he's ever had sexual tension with, what I couldn't let go. The whole time during the interview, I was like, and? But no, it was just really incredible to be able to have him for that much time and have it flip the script because normally at the reunion, he's just on you and you can tell when your answer is too long for him and he like gives you the look like, you're done now. I don't want to hear another peep. So it was really fun. It was really cool. And then other than that, I just love meeting any newbies, complete newbies when they're, you know, able to share their experiences. Because I remember that first time, that like first year that I watched the show and I was like, oh God, I'm the worst.
All right, Ashley.
Okay, I think that there's something in their forever contract that says that they can't come on and do a podcast, but I would love some of the former executive producers that are no longer with the show, but that Ben and I had as producers and extreme confidants at that time to come on, most notably like Alon Gale. And he's gone on and done so many other dating shows and reality shows over the past 5 years on his own. So in his books, yeah. So he's just like such a character. So I'd love to have him on. He did come on to plug F-Boy Island, I think, once. But I would want him to come on for an extended period of time and talk about his time on The Bachelor and a whole bunch of behind-the-scenes stories and how he liked certain leads more than others and like little tricks they played on us. I'd love, really, we could do hours on just like the tricks, the mind tricks that they would play on us.
Dark.
I know, but like, I don't know. I would love to do that, but I bet you that they can't ever do that, right? You think that they can ever do that?
Matters if we can pay them or not. I don't know.
I mean, what if they would come on anonymously? I'd love to like have a voice changer
on
one of them.
Oh, that could be good. That's a really good idea, like a voice changer.
Voice changer. That'd be so cool.
I told Ashley that.
But let me be clear. Like, there's lots of people that say stuff about the behind the scenes and them messing with you. It's like you signed up for a reality show.
Yeah.
When they're in producer mode, they're in producer mode. And when you're off camera, like I think that they're in friend mode. And I really cherish all the friendships that we have, the producers. I love them so, so much. They've been with me through the roughest emotional times. And I don't know. They're so easy to talk to and they're very warm and loving. And we've known them for almost a decade.
All right, Christine.
We're so new, like we're a new podcast. So we have, we have lists and lists of people. And this may not be a room that will even understand my dream guest because if you did not watch our show, Hey Dude.
Hey Dude.
Okay, if you didn't watch the show, this will not make sense. But there is one of our co-stars in the show, whose name is Joe Torres, who is the one cast member that we really have not reconnected with. We really don't know where he is. We don't know. So we're like on a mission
to find him.
Even though it seems like he doesn't want to be found, he's not on social media. He's probably just like living his life.
I will find him.
But for our fans, we want to find Joe and have Joe on the show. But I think we would like to also sort of ceremoniously like get through some quintessential 90s casts of TV shows. Hint over there, Jenny. things like that. So,
David.
Lucky we're interviewing Jenny after this.
But we cannot keep a secret.
No, I can't.
Yeah. I love that for him, though.
You shouldn't tell me who the guest is till we're actually
exactly.
doing it. The 90s, for me, the music scene in Seattle, so like Eddie Vedder talking about Pearl Jam or Dave Grohl talking about Nirvana would be, and I'm working on it, or any of the Chicago Bulls or New York Knicks from those 90s teams.
Wow, wow, really run the gamut.
What? Yeah.
Sports, actors, musicians, you guys do it all.
I mean, it's like an endless list of dream guests, but those two genres for me would be a dream.
Awesome. Kevin?
Our dream was to have Ryan Murphy, and then he put himself in it immediately. It's like, yeah, I'll come on. We're like, oh. We hadn't asked yet. He's like, we'll do 2 hours. Can you set it up? I'm like, yeah. I'm like texting Amy Sugarman, like, we got Ryan for 2 hours. And then we come to the end of the 2 hours and we're like trying to be nice and get him off. And he's like, you have me. Is there anything else you want to ask? I was like, aren't you running an empire? Like, surely you're busier than this. Like, but
that's really funny because we had Ryan Seacrest on ours and I had like 2 minutes. We did it like in between songs during the morning show. I was like, I'll take it, whatever.
And he keeps coming back.
That's
He's
awesome.
Like, what's coming? What's the beginning of season two? I'm like, well, there's Britney Spears. He's like, no, I don't want to do that one. And so he's been back. We've done 3 episodes with him and he wants to keep coming back. So I'm like, I'm not going to say no.
I also feel like Beyonce is going to be up there for you, too.
Listen. I can't, my eyes are watering. I wouldn't be able, for her sake.
All right, I respect it.
Because that would just, I would like Gwyneth Paltrow. We're working on that. I think it will happen.
Oh, right.
She's also like my end to Beyonce.
Yeah.
So...
She can vouch for you guys. Like, they're cool.
She introduced us once, and that's why I'm like, whatever Gwyneth wants, I will do for her forever.
Ben?
So during the airing of the Bachelor season I was on, President Barack Obama spoke about my season during a speech about how he watched it.
So you want Barack Obama?
Yeah.
Oh, my God. That's commendable. That's good.
And so he talks about how he watched it with his daughters, like how he was a little tired or something in the morning because he was up watching The Bachelor the night before, and it was sent to me. And I just thought, how fun would it be to get him on a podcast? And if you could like get it to where like, what does it look like to watch The Bachelor in the White House? Like, how does that operate? Or like, are you guys pulling out popcorn? I want to know the behind the scenes.
I do too. I'm going to keep my fingers crossed.
Can you pull that one off for me? Thank you.
I'll text Barack later.
Can you do an impersonation of what you would imagine him sounding like talking about The Bachelor?
No, I would not.
Because I can hear it in my voice, but it will not be able to.
It would just be super fun. I've always been intrigued by that. So I think he'd be my dream guest. No doubt.
All right. I respect it. Jenny?
I don't know. I don't really have a dream guest. It would be great if the other cast members would come on our show. But
that'd be awesome.
No shade there. Yeah. No shade.
Have you tried?
We've had some of them, but there are a few holding out. I don't know why, because they'll do your show.
Can you name names?
I'm not naming names, but I will say, they say, oh, we don't want to talk about it. You know, that's our past. We've moved on to other things. And then they're doing a show called about the 90s. I don't understand it. Tori and I are baffled by it, but whatever. To each his own.
Yeah.
But just, we have gotten a chance to connect with a lot of the supporting cast members that maybe started on our show. That was like their first job ever, and they're still in the business, or they're still just something really, like, you know, there have been so many famous people on the show that were not famous then. So maybe, like, I'd love to have Jessica Alba on the show. I'd love to have Christina Aguilera, like, people that I've forgotten were even on the show. That would be fun. But it's also fun because we have a lot of viewer interaction. So seeing super fans and talking to super fans and just hearing different people's perspectives is always eye-opening.
That's fun. Okay, we don't have a ton of time. I'm so sorry. But I do want to get to audience questions. So I'm really bad at... Okay, great. I'm sorry. You pick who. But raise your hands.
Okay, so I have a question about The Bachelor. So this is for Ben and Ashley. I always wondered at the end, do they make you keep
do they pick one person, like the one person you think, oh, he's kind of for sure not drag her along, and then that's the one that everybody hates that you give a rose to for the next week. It's like, oh my gosh.
That's a Ben question.
Yeah. It's yes and no. So the producers play, you know, God. So they have 1,000 cameras around the room. They can know what's going on in one room compared to the next. And so if, as The Bachelor, in short, to explain would be, if something's going on that they don't want me to see or that they know I would find unattractive in this room, they would never let me walk into it. And so I like, as a viewer, you know that's going on and you're like, that person is causing all this drama. That person's doing all this. I'm oblivious. I have no idea what's happening. And especially at the beginning, you really count on the producers to give you the insight into who's there. Like, tell me more about her. I think she's really pretty. You know, does she get along with others? And they could tell you whatever they want. And so you do make the decision. There's only one moment where I felt like they were pushing me to keep somebody that I didn't want around. But they're good at that too. And to close this thought so we can get to other questions, you kind of, as the lead, and I tell leads going into this, you're negotiating the whole time. Like, am I really going to fight to send this person home when there's 20 people left and I can keep them around so this doesn't cause some argument amongst me and the producers? I can save that argument for a later date that it really matters. That was always my thought. It's like, I don't, yeah, one out of 20, keep, you know, we'll keep them around.
Just another one.
Just another one. Yeah. There's another one.
Do we have any more questions? Well, oh, one more. Okay, well, we have one right here.
This is a great group because I always say that like one third of TV needs to be reality and one third needs to be from like removed a decade ago, and just everyone needs to like Vanderpump Rules is a full-time job right now. If you could talk about anything else on your own podcast because you have to talk about what you have to talk about, what would it be? So like if you could discuss a different section of TV, what would you talk about?
I'll take that. I would talk about anything else. Please.
Maybe focus on the OMG part. Yeah, yeah. Like rebrand.
No, don't get me wrong. I love doing the podcast, but yeah, I don't love sticking to the episode every week. I want to talk about shit that matters, you know? Like, that matters to a certain degree in its own way, but I would love to talk about many other things. So, yeah, maybe focusing more on the OMG of it all.
You know, I'm seeing a rebrand, maybe.
I'm seeing it.
I'd do golf. I would love to talk about golf all
he
day, every
tries
day. I try.
And I'm like, oh, God, he's doing the golf talk again.
It gets really boring, and so I stop. But, yes, golf.
I talk about the Kardashians.
Beyonce. Yeah, okay. Renaissance could be a whole year on its own.
I trust.
I'd be happy to talk about any scandal that's going down in social media because I have a real issue with going down rabbit holes. Like, one would think one would need to sleep, but I'm like, no, I need to know who her first boyfriend was before she killed him, before this happened, and then I need to know who her parents are, what they did for a living. Like, that is, so I could really invest myself.
It sounds very peaceful in your head.
You know what?
Peaceful place that is up there.
You know how it is.
Okay, we have to wrap, but I just wanted to say to all of you guys, as a fellow podcaster, I really admire each of you. I love all of you. I love podcasts in general, so I just wanted to thank you for being here and being so sweet and kind and open and honest, and thank all of you guys. I don't know if this is weird, but can you guys, like, stand up and we can all, like, cheer for you?
Yeah, it is weird.
Let's give them all a big round of applause. Thanks, guys. All right, thank you guys so much. Thank you. Have a great, great rest of your trip, weekend.
You have been listening to the TV Campfire Podcast, hosted by ATX TV co-founders Emily Gibson and Caitlin McFarlane, and produced by Jennifer Morgan. This conversation was recorded live at ATX TV Festival Season 12 in Austin, Texas, between June 1st and 4th, 2023. For more information on the festival and becoming an ATX TV member, follow us at ATX Festival or visit atxfestival.com.